Good morning, everybody. We are live here. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above for today, June 25th. Can you believe it? We're almost at the end of June, staring down the barrel of July. I can't believe how time flies these days, even if maybe it is because of all of the chaos around us in the world. I'm not sure. But it just seems like, wow, it just seems like only yesterday it was January, right? So I'd like to welcome everybody, and especially if you're new here for the first time, check in with us and say hey, and let us know where you're from and how you found us. And good morning to those of you who are my usual listeners. It's good to see you. I see Phantom Chroma so far this morning. Very nice to see you. And oh, gotta choke that off there. So it's funny, every day I go in after our show and I do a lot of processing, putting this up on Blog Talk, etc. And it seems like every day somehow one setting or another gets changed in the system. So today it happened to be the sound setting. Who knows what it'll be tomorrow? But I see now Marjorie and J-Lo and Amy. Good morning to you all. So glad to see you. And today is a very quietish sort of day. We have, you know, definitely some things to talk about. But the sun and the earth have made a move into a new set of gates in your human design or gene keys, whichever way you prefer to look at it. And one of those gates is the gate 52, which is a gate of stillness. And I just realized I didn't get that done for us this morning. I wanted to get a chart up for your human design. And so I'm going to be doing that right here, right now. You may see me look a little bit scattered. I just need to go in here and save my image. And then I can do this just now for 6:25. And save. Very good. All right. So we'll take a look at that in a little while so you can see where the gates have moved or where the sun and earth have moved at least. And so the energy, when the gates shift, of course, the energy on the planet shifts. And that shifting energy gives us opportunities to encounter different shadow energies. To allow us to move up from that shadow or fear energy into a gift energy, and then also allows us maybe to access the highest expression of that through our DNA, through our physical beings. And then that is called a siddhi, S-I-D-D-H-I, which is a Sanskrit word. And I think it means just the highest expression of. And those energies then, as they shift from last week's, or now it's last week's, but last week's energy into this week's, it is taking on a much quieter, much more stress-free sort of energy. Now, does that mean we're going to feel stress-free? Well, it's that we're going to be working toward feeling stress-free. But for a lot of people, this may be a stressful week, and we're going to talk more about how to break that down a little bit. I'm going to go through we're going to go back to our Rosie stories. We missed it last time with the gates last week. So this week we're going to go through the gates, the Wisdom Keeper's guidebook, inner guidebook that goes along with the cards. And I'll just give you a preview of our gentleman card today. Doesn't he look chill? I think he's like sitting on a beach in the Caribbean somewhere or Florida Keys. He's just sitting on the beach, maybe living the good life. And the gift in this energy is restraint. Stillness is the siddhi, but the lowest expression is stress. And then the earth, on the other hand, is sitting at the gate of joy. And so they're bringing us stress-free joy, perhaps. And interestingly enough, this is the mirror image of the energy that is around Christmas time. And except that at Christmas time, the sun is in the gate 58, where the earth is in the gate of stillness. So it's kind of if you think about the imagery of some of the Christmas songs like Silent Night and Came Upon a Midnight Clear, those kinds of things, we get to this energy of stillness, but yet there's joy in the stillness of not having to go anywhere, do anything, be anything other than you, yourself, and just being in that stillness. We also are still sitting with the moon in Leo in a void, of course. That doesn't break until 10:06 a.m. Pacific time, which means 1:06 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast, and a little bit later into the evening for those of you in Europe or in the Greenwich Mean Time. The moon then will move into the sign of Virgo, one of my favorite signs. Wouldn't you know it? My moon is in Virgo. Of course I like this. And so we'll want to talk about what that means in terms of Virgo energy and what can we expect. Today, the moon is making two new contacts with planets, but that won't be until after 10 o'clock or 1 o'clock when she moves into the new sign. And that will be a sextile with the sun. I think we're going to feel a flood of some, you know, energy of getting things done. And then also she'll move into a square to Venus, who is newly moving direct. And what might that mean for us? And then as well today, we are moving into four listening. That is our Pleiadian Earth energy, and we'll want to take a look at that. So let me first go back and say good morning to people who have popped in since I looked last. Good morning, Mimi and Kimberly Eberhardt. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel. Great to see you. Destiny Clark, great to see you. I think you might be a new member here, so welcome to you. And let us know a little more about how you found us or where you live or what's exciting in your life. J-Lo says, here goes another song in the stillness of the night. I love the way you think. I only wish that we could somehow play little, you know, snippets of these songs, J-Lo, that we come up with that sort of mirror the feelings of the day without getting hit with, you know, copyright things and all of that. It would be just so nice if people were like, yeah, I recognize you. This song is perfect for your situation. But unfortunately, even the president can't get away with doing that without getting sued. So we'll refrain. And we'll just know, everybody go look for the song in the still of the night, and you will get a glimpse into the energy of today. So looking again now, the sun, let me show our human design chart for the day. Actually, I don't want to do it that way. I want to go over here and bring that up. Downloads, there we go. And now I'm going to share my screen so you guys can see this as well. Okay, so now what you're looking at is a human design chart of the now. On Jovian Archive, it is called the Just Now Chart, and this gives us an idea of what all the planets are doing at this moment. So for example, if you're a projector, I mean, for all of you, this is important, but if you're a projector or a reflector or a manifester that has a lot of openness, this is a key exercise for you because you can see that these gates, as they move through, or get triggered by planets that are moving through, that opportunities open up for you as a person. Maybe new people come into your life, a new opportunity, a new energy, a new feeling. You know, if you had a lot of openness here in your emotional center, maybe recently you've been feeling a lot of energy in of emotion, maybe feeling moody. And you could trace that back to what planets might be sitting on the solar plexus, for example. The planet Neptune sitting right here at gate 22 right now could be triggering that more moody feeling where you're up and down and not even being able to, you know, pinpoint it. Like I was thinking this morning, I woke up and I thought things just feel different. And it doesn't feel different good or feel different bad. It just feels different. And I have to attribute that to the gate 22 here because it's completing a channel up to the gate 12 for me personally. And I know this because my son sits at the gate 12. So I know I'm in this moody space for however long that Neptune decides to sit at gate 22. So knowing that ahead of time, then I can move through my day without attaching a meaning to what I'm feeling. Right? So I don't have to attach to, oh, I'm now depressed or, oh, I'm manic or bipolar, or anything like that. So it's very helpful to have your own human design chart and then to watch how the planets move through that chart on a daily basis. And so today we have the sun at gate 52 and the earth at gate 58. For those of you that are new with us in human design, we definitely use the earth as she presents a challenge to the sun, to our ego energies, our personality, to evolve, right? The challenge is thrown down, the challenge to find joy, to remain in joy. And I want you to note, here is where the gate of joy is, down here on gate 58 on the root center. I think it's surprising people expect that the gate of joy, which we attribute to an emotion or a feeling, is which should be over here on the solar plexus, the center for emotions. However, that is not how this works. Joy is a very basic energy to the human archetype. So it's not something that we chase after. It's nothing that can outside of us create that for us. It's an intrinsic characteristic within us to be able to express joy. And that even in the midst of drama or trauma in our lives, that the joy didn't leave us. It's always there. It's just being overlaid at the moment by an emotional feeling of grief, perhaps, or upset or conflict, those kinds of things. So, and interestingly enough, conflict also sits on the root center. This is the gate of struggle, we would call it, the 38. And I'm going off on a little tangent here, but it's interesting to note what energies are foundational to us as human beings versus what are emotional energies that are foundational to us as human beings. So the gate 58 is where the earth is. The challenge is for us to remain in a state of joy or to recognize that bliss, vitality, joy are not energies that we have to go looking for. They're not outside of us. Nothing outside of you can provide that for you. It is intrinsic. It's in here. It's a part of who you are. And then the sun at gate 52, it's also on the root center. So we're seeing two gates that are sitting in the very foundational energy, and this is the energy of stillness or restraint in in Gene Key's gift level. It is restraint. No, not like I'm being restrained, but I am holding my counsel, right? I'm holding myself accountable for what I'm saying, doing, expressing, etc. in all moments. It is also where I am accountable for creating my own peace, my own stillness, my own ability to go within and be okay with whatever it is that is going through me. So these two gates kind of remind me of, well, 52 does, 58 doesn't, but gate 52 sort of reminds me of that energy. I think they call it a gamma or delta state of, I think it's gamma actually, state of brainwaves. When, for example, a parent might see their child is walking out into danger, and they have this superhuman strength that suddenly comes to them, this ability to run out, grab the child before, out of, you know, ripping them out of the jaws of danger, or superhuman strength if, you know, something is, how many stories have you heard of people who are able to lift up a car to release a loved one that's gotten caught under a car for some reason? All kinds of superhuman stories like that in earthquakes and, you know, after hurricanes and things where people have these abilities. Well, it is there is a space that your brain goes into of stillness, that the brain is in still mode, which gives the body all of the adrenaline and all of the access it needs to be able to do whatever it takes in that moment. Well, here in this particular gate, we have the ability to go into that kind of stillness all the time. Not necessarily because we need the superhuman strength to go save somebody, but because we need to be able to come to a center so that we can reach to our higher selves and take in the information of what is next in our lives. So, or what is next in our day for that matter. So these two gates are really interesting when they come up. And it's funny because it's, you know, almost that midwinter, beginning of winter for people who live below the equator. So this is sort of a mirror image of that Christmas time energy. But for you guys, it's coming in your winter. And for us, it comes in our winter as well. But summertime has the mirror image of it. So, all right, I hope I didn't just confuse everybody. Look who's still sitting now at gate 39. Mercury, our planet of provocateurism, provocation. the words wouldn't come, provocation. So we are being triggered perhaps by things that people say or by the thoughts coming up in our mind. So that is another call for us to stay aware of what it is that we're talking about. What are we saying to people? How are we saying what we're saying? And to understand that other people may be a little blinded and their provoking words may hurt, but with some unconsciousness on their part. So forgive them, for they know not what they do or what they say. Mars has now made his transition over to the gate 25. This is a gate of universal love. Very early Aries is about coming back home, right? Coming back to that center where all is love energy, universal love. This is one of the gates of love on your identity center, the gate of universal love, the gate of physical love, or being in the physical. The 15 is the gate of the love of humanity and the love, of course, of self, which right now is connected up to the throat center at the gate 20, where Venus is sitting still until June 30th. So we have a lot of love energy possible. We have a lot of energy that where we can get triggered by people around us, or where we inadvertently could be the trigger for other people to grow. And also the need for finding stillness within. You're going to see that echoed as well when we talk about the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. So I think it's always interesting when we have coherence going on between the systems that we talk about here on the morning show. So let's see. Good morning, Jennifer Peachy. J-Lo says, OMG, my lower back was killing me this morning. That's that very end of Leo, the lower back. So hopefully, J-Lo, you are healing, that you are, you know, not experiencing something that is traumatic or long lasting. Kamal, good morning to you. Mimi says, J-Lo, I hope you'll heal quickly. Awesome. Everybody say good morning to each other. I love it. Kamal says, wonderful, Mimi and Phantom. See, I love, this is like a community now, you know, where we're all supporting one another. And that I really love. Destiny says, Amy referred me. I live in Northern California. I study astrology and tarot, very new to human design, but I'm so intrigued by it. Love it. Amy, thank you for referring your friend. Destiny, thank you for joining us. It's wonderful to have you. And please feel free to, you know, share insights that you have as we work through this material in the morning. Okay, so let's now take a look at our cards and see what the story is behind our gift, our gate of restraint, our gift of restraint, I should say, and the siddhi of stillness, and the stress being the shadow energy. So this is, again, from Rosie Aronson, the 64 Faces of Awakening, and from inside the cards, it is the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook. And here's our story. The more selfless your intention, the more power it will have. Woo-hoo. Here's my wisdom story. As a young farm boy, I dreamed of a bigger life. I was a ravenous reader, and it didn't take long before I started writing myself. By some stroke of luck, in my early 20s, I wrote a fast-paced historical fiction novel that was discovered by a major publisher and raced straight to the top of the bestseller list. As soon as I received my first royalty check, I moved to the big city, where I was invited into a hip workspace full of cutting-edge writers. It was in that bustling space that I wrote my second novel. To my dismay, it was a flop. My fans complained, my best critics wrote hurtful reviews, and my publishers threatened to pull my next contract unless I could guarantee another hit. As I faced my next project, I was paralyzed with fear. My hip workspace suddenly felt chaotic and noisy. Stressed out and stuck, I spent hours staring at a blank screen, my mind racing with loads of self-doubt and no inspiration. I got so desperate, I started reading books about how to write bestsellers. Though I tried to follow the templates, nothing worked. My restlessness grew to the point where I couldn't sit still. Finally, exploding from the pressure, I kicked my desk, abandoned the building and my contract. I took the first flight out and ended up on a small island where I rented a tiny house in the country and spent months burned out and depressed. At one point, I started gardening. For weeks, my hands were deep in the earth and my mind's only concern was how to make plants grow. As my body and soul adjusted to a slower paced life, I learned that while I could enhance a plant's growth with gardening techniques, most of the time plants knew perfectly well how to grow. They had their own timing. I also noticed that when I was in a good mood while planting seeds, the plants seemed to do better. Such small realizations reawakened the philosopher and the writer in me. This time, I was inspired to write poems, each word like a flower. When I felt strong enough to go back to the big city and clean up my mess, I realized that the stress I'd felt there wasn't just mine. It was everywhere and everyone's. My heart went out to humanity, and I knew my next book would illuminate the impact of stress on all of us. My writing would serve the planet. This time, I trusted the right words, and all of the inspiration I'd need would come at just the right time. My gift to you, I come to relieve you of your stress and to remind you that everything in nature, including you, has its own timing and growth pattern. Your intentions are like seeds. If you start something from a place of fear, the seed of fear will permeate the entire endeavor. So if you want your dream to grow and thrive, just hold a clear intention, infuse it with goodwill, and trust that your dreams know just how and when to bloom. It's time to befriend restraint, practice patience, learn how not to interfere, let your life and dreams unfold without too much pushing or prodding. And remember, more often than not, growth and transformation take place below ground, and the greatest seeds take the longest to germinate. Wise words. Questions for contemplation. Where are you feeling most restless and impatient? Where do you feel most stuck? What are the ways you experience and express stress? Is your body currently showing signs of burnout? Think of a time you practiced restraint and it paid off. Reflect upon a current project. How can you reinfuse it with goodwill and a loving intention? And what is a simple way you can reconnect with stillness today? You actually have a week's worth of stillness to reconnect with. Lovely story, isn't it? Tomorrow we'll take a look at the story that the earth brings us at the gate of bliss, joy, and vitality as the gift. And let's just see how people are reacting to that. I kind of think we need some stress relief, don't we? Okay. Ursula, good morning to you. Destiny says, thanks so much, everybody, to all of your welcomes. Good morning, Miss Allison. Great to see you this morning. And let's see what else is. I missed a bunch. Oh, wow, wow, wow. Good morning, Terry. Good to see you out there. Jennifer Peachy, see, I love these cards. I love these cards. And Augustina, hello. Better late than never. Well, we've just barely started, Augustina, so you're right on time. And that's awesome. Okay. So stress in our lives, right? So our opportunity this week as we move through the gate of stress or restraint is for us to retool ourselves here, rekey ourselves. Maybe Mercury in retrograde is actually giving us access to a more peaceful way of being in the world by stirring our minds up a bit and take advantage of this particular week, right? Get some much needed perspective on what it is you're doing, why it is you're doing it, and how it is that you can maybe release yourself from some of that stressfulness. Okay, now heading over to the moon, one of my favorite topics in the day, the moon today in Leo for the last couple of hours here in void. So that means it's not a good time to start anything new or to embark upon a new project. Kind of hold your breath here just for a little while longer. Restrain yourself for a little bit until after 10:06 a.m. Pacific time or 1:06 p.m. East Coast time, when the moon will move out of Leo and into Virgo and break this very long void, of course. Now, today we have the two contacts or aspects that the moon is making with other planets, not again until later in the day, where she comes into a sextile with the sun and a square to Venus now in direct motion. Let's take a look at what the moon in Virgo means first, and then we'll go back to these transits and see what they might mean, how they color the picture. So the moon in Virgo rules everything to do with the physical body, the physical health of your body, the physical realm, the physical world. As far as your body is concerned, it rules health, right? Your diet, exercise, healing ability, and also healers. So Virgo itself, it would be such an awesome thing to see astrologers agree that maybe Chiron would be the more appropriate ruler for Virgo. I don't know that that's in the offing, but to me, it makes perfect sense to make Ophiuchus be, or Chiron, the ruling planet for Virgo energy. But there may be a different one that might be better too. Maybe it's one of the goddesses. We'll take a look at that one day, perhaps. Virgo also rules everything you do in the workplace and your job. So where the 10th house and Saturn as the ruler of the 10th house, the natural 10th house, rules your career or your professional focus, it's really more the worldly you that is represented in the 10th house, where the 6th house, which is ruled by Virgo, is more about the workplace. And that might be the type of work you do in that place. It might be the projects you take on or the tasks that you have or the routine that you are accustomed to in the workplace. And it can also rule your coworkers. Or if you're the manager of an office, then it can be your employees. So everything to do with the workplace itself happens through the sign of Virgo. And wherever Virgo is in your chart may show you or give you a glimpse into how it is that you work in the in your workplace or in the job that you do. But you also would have to look then at the 6th house of your chart to see how that plays out better. And I'll show you the astrology chart here in a bit. Now, also in Virgo is this idea of organization, practical organization, right? It's about having an orderly environment. It's about everything has its place. It's about planning and efficiency. It is about handling the details. Virgo is very much a sign of the details, right? Seeing, you know, how all the pieces fit together. They're great paperwork pushers. Virgo likes the idea of taking a chaotic environment and making it orderly. So a Virgo is your best friend. If you can't seem to get yourself organized, find a Virgo. They can help you. They can help you get there. Or a Virgo moon, perhaps, or somebody with the sun in Virgo. When I say somebody, a Virgo, the sun in Virgo. Clear discrimination is also another strength in Virgo, as in analysis, their ability to analyze and to critically think. They use discernment very well. They have focus and drive whenever they're involved in something that is one of their powers, that they can keep focused on a task at hand. Sometimes that ability that the sign of Virgo has to be analytical and to critically think gets them into trouble because they also speak to that while they're in the process of that analyzing, right? And that can come off as judgment for some people. They feel judged or they feel like the person is critiquing them or being critical of them. So we'll want to watch for that today. That is actually one of our things to watch out for, is criticism. Right? Watch that your critical thinking and your analysis doesn't go too far over to the end of criticism. And of course, we think of Virgo, we think of serving or service, this idea of being willing to share of your gifts and your talents in the world. Everybody, every one of us resonates with that on some level, that we all want to be heard, valued, recognized for the gifts that we have and the talents that we share with the world. And in that way, we form a path of service, right? To be able to give to the world as we also receive from the giving. It's really kind of an interesting thing, don't you think? Giving is receiving. Receiving is giving. We hear that all the time in abundance. Anybody talking about abundance is always talking about that. If you want to receive more, give more. If you want to give more, receive more. So that's kind of this way that we even have a card in our Wisdom of the Oracle deck called Gift Exchange. And it's that same concept of giving is receiving and receiving is giving. So path of service is about being willing to adapt to changing circumstances and being able to show up and serve in whatever capacity it is that is required of you in the moment. Being practical helpfulness I like that. I also, this morning, that led me to think about practical magic. And with Pluto and Jupiter both now again sitting at the gate 61 in our human design, gate 61 on the head center, moving down toward the Ajna right in the middle. And in the shadow energy, remember that's the gate of insanity, which is not called insanity, it's called psychosis. And one of the ways out of that kind of psychosis, which can also be out of worry, could lead you out of stress, is the ability to connect to magic, to practical magic, right? Being able to use healing powers, being able to cook something and make it taste magical, right? So practical magic, being able to take a messy desk and move it all around and let go of some things and voila, magically, it appears to be a neat and orderly environment. So practical helpfulness, practical magic. There is also a certain amount of conscientiousness that comes with Virgo energy, being aware of what your impact is on other people, that also and identifying with the job at hand and making sure that your product, whatever it is that you put out there, is of good quality, that it is a true representation of your intent, idea, i.e. a purity of intent. Then we also have an energy with Virgo that we call synthesis, you know, and I was thinking about this morning too with human design, as it is a synthesis of these four wisdom traditions and two cutting edge sciences, and we weave them together. And what I do here in the morning is I'm synthesizing astrology, human design, gene keys, Pleiadian earth energy, the Mayan calendar. We are bringing all of these things together, and out of that comes this beautiful coherent stream of wisdom. So here in the with Virgo energy, we have this desire to perfect, to synthesize, to process, to reinvent, to bring things together and put them together in new ways. We're bringing order out of chaos, right? Chaos coming into order. And sometimes the order in chaos is hard to do. But Virgo has an ability to see how everything fits together, to understand that even sometimes the chaos is what is necessary in order to find a path forward. So interesting, the moon here helping us, maybe helping us with our houses, our lives, maybe because we feel a little bit like everything's a mess right now. everything is kind of a mess in the world, don't you think? And now we have a couple of other things to watch out for while the moon is in Virgo. One is worry. Because Mercury is the ruling planet right now for Virgo, there's always going to be this connection to the health of the mind. And the health of the mind in this case would be, is it, you know, filled with worry or doubt? Is it overly critical of what itself or others or the environment that it finds itself in? Is there an energy of blame and judgment, of kind of being the martyr or the victim? Remember, the opposite sign of Virgo is Pisces. And sometimes then we bring in some of that more victim, the lower end of Pisces energy for integration into our Virgo practicality would be that sometimes that there's that victim-y energy that we've got to work with. And then on the other side of the spectrum is workaholism, where we get so, you know, busy, we get so into our work that we forget to come up and breathe, drink some water, go to the restroom, eat, right? So watch out for that as well. You may be getting so busy doing something that you totally forget. And before you know it, it's the end of the day and you've not eaten, right? That's not a good thing for the body, particularly because the body, the part of the body that Virgo is really, the ruler of is really pretty, the bowels and the intestines, right? And so things like constipation and diarrhea in the body can be something that's going on in the Virgo part of your chart, or can pop up on you when you have something transiting through Virgo, because Virgo ultimately rules digestion. And further, it is also the assimilation of nutrients that are in the body, in the intestines, after the stomach has digested. So stomach digestion moves it into the small intestines, where a process of assimilating the nutrients that cross into the bloodstream that cause the body to be able to grow, your cells to have all the nutrients it needs. And so for some people, an imbalance in Virgo energy can also be an imbalance in the digestion and assimilation of nutrients, but also water. And that can lead then to either the state of diarrhea or constipation. And Virgo also rules the solar plexus. So we may even be able to trace that back into emotions triggered by maybe worry, criticism, blame, judgment, being the recipient of those or actually instigating those energies. So an interesting couple of days. So if you're having digestive issues over the next couple of days, take a look at your chart and discover where Virgo is. I'm going to take a quick look over here and see if there are comments or questions. Debbie, okay, J-Lo. I don't know why they blank that. Definitely. Thank you, J-Lo, for the reminder. If you're liking the video, please give me a thumbs up. That helps in something to do with YouTube. And if you like the channel, if you like hearing these videos, then please subscribe. That subscribe button is just below. And you can even hit the little bell and be notified when I am coming on live. Great. Done that part. Thank you for the reminder, J-Lo. Debbie Tibbetts Tumio says, I have felt very low key this week and have wanted to be quiet. Carry on, girl, because you're a projector and you need these times to gird you for those times when it gets crazy, right? So take this and run with it, Debbie Tibbetts Tumio. Destiny says, me too, Debbie. I think that goes well with the story. There's time for working and planning, and there's time for rest and reflection. Perfect. J-Lo, please take a second and hit the like. That's the comment that YouTube tried to filter out, but thank you. Debbie says, yes, and I have no idea where any of this is going, or myself or anyone else. I just know it feels very different, and different in a good way, I'm hoping, because, you know, sometimes we, because things have been very chaotic, sometimes we need that time to just unwind, you know, just unwind all the stress, get a massage, go swimming, you know, get into the water, go to the ocean, go to a river, go to a forest. All of these places support peace and serenity. And we need much more of that, perhaps. Destiny Venus going direct will bring the clarity we are looking for. You know, yesterday when we were talking about Venus going direct, I didn't emphasize enough the relationship component of Venus turning direct. So if there were troubles that may have cropped up during your Venus retrograde period of time in your relationships, now's the time with Venus turning back to direct to realign that relationship, that maybe you could see from an internal position what it was that you needed to shift on the inside of you in order to make that relationship work better. So thank you for saying that, Destiny, because it made me remember to tell you guys that. Amy, very interesting, Janet. My Virgo rising is really going wild with this idea of Chiron ruling Virgo. You know, what's funny about that, Amy, is initially I said that and then I went, but wait a minute. Virgo is the sign of the Virgin. It's a feminine energy. And Ophiuchus or Chiron was a masculine being. And how does that square? So I wanted to backtrack what I had said, but ultimately it's not about the masculine or the feminine of it all. It's really about the magic of healing and how our, think about your body in this, right? How our bodies can seemingly without our consciousness heal. And what if we applied consciousness to healing? How magical could that be, right? If we really started to go, wow, I'm going to direct and I'm going to move with the healing of my body, and I'm going to restore it to its youthfulness. I'm going to restore, I'm going to elongate those telomeres in my DNA so that they are more youthful and able to copy my DNA strands upright, you know, appropriately. I think we can do this. It's not just, I think, I know we can, but I think sometimes we come up against our belief system. You know, it seems so magical, doesn't it, to be able to heal thyself. To be able to be healed without needing an intermediary like a doctor. And that's why I think alternative healers are so powerful in the world at the moment, because what they do is allow your body to do what it does best where Western medicine is often throwing a remedy at you, like a drug or something that you know, have to take physically. So that just gives me some interesting things to think about here with my moon in Virgo today. Destiny, LOL, Amy, same. I have Chiron in Virgo in the third. This moon will be opposing my Saturn. Maybe it's time to get down to writing or teaching about healing, Miss Destiny. J-Lo says, yes, my cooking is amazing at times and I create pretty good inventions. I love it. Carry on, right? Food is healing. And so are all of the spices. I have this one magical YouTube channel that I love. It's called Downshiftology, one word. And the woman cooks, she's cooking healthy. And she shows you all about different spices and, you know, think about this. Like, I love Mexican food, so I'm often cooking tacos or enchiladas or things like that. And I reach for a packet of taco seasoning or my Costco bottle of taco seasoning, never really thinking about what are they putting in all of those spices, these, you know, combinations of spices. Well, lo and behold, the other day she says the very same thing and she makes her own taco seasoning. And I'm thinking all you needed to do was mix a little red chili powder, some garlic and some, what was the other thing? Cumin, and make your own, right? Make your own. It's only so much more healthy if you're taking the basic and mixing it into your own without all of the other ingredients that they put in for processing, etc. So cooking, foods, wholesome, all of that goes along with this Virgo moon. Ursula, good morning to you. She says, house six is in the sign of Pisces with Virgo sun and ascendant. How would you interpret the way I like to work with a Pisces moon? Very creatively, right? Pisces is very creative, very imaginative, and I'm assuming that you can very much be, I think for you, Ursula, how this would play out is that you have this very powerful imagination about your work or about what works for you, and then it translates into Virgo, which is in the inner mind, the subconscious, and forms new patterns and new associations in which you can express them creatively. But it's also possible for that to be translated through healing and processing the wounds that you yourself are carrying in your own body from likely 12th house issues from the past, previous lifetimes, karma, etc. That's a pretty deep study all in all. But the 12th house planets, the 12th house energy is very easily can very easily get to the consciousness that created a problem. They may not know the exact specifics, but you can almost recognize patterns very easily and even tune into what may have been the source of that discomfort by just observing patterns. And it can become a very creative process. Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, Laura, have a great first day back to work. Yay. I'm not sure which Laura that is. I might've missed that comment. Laura Wolfberg, going back to my job today at 1 o'clock EST. Now that would be like 6 minutes before the Leo moon switches over. The moon comes out of the void and into, Virgo. How interesting is that, Laura? I'm not sure what time zone you're in either. Maybe it is after that period of time for you. Okay, Ursula, Debbie Tibbetts, justice for all. I have to figure all this out because I don't have an accurate birth time. Janet, do you do chart rectifications? I do not. I am not really good at it. I am good at this. I have picked almost down to the minute times intuitively for people. But if I were you and it's not on your birth certificate, I would take a poll of your family members. Maybe they have memories around something that happened on the day that you were born. If there isn't any family around that would have that kind of memory, then Justice, you might want to, I'm trying to think of astrologers that I know that are good at rectification. I'll have to think about that for a moment. And then if I come up someone, I will refer you to it. The other thing that you can do is look at your own circadian rhythms and kind of tune into when do you feel your best during the day. That's likely close to or around within the next couple of hours of your birth. When are you at your tiredest in a day? Are you a night owl versus someone who is a day person? That might point to a nighttime birth. So there's other ways to do that, but I'll put my mind to thinking about who can do a rectification for you. Justice for All also says, does anyone know what planets rule the eyes? Aries, I am having a major problem with an eye. And definitely it is Aries that rules the eyes. And in human design, the eyes, the left and the right eye, are ruled by different gates. And did you tell me what eye it was? And I can tell you something right away, just from hearing you, not hearing you, but hearing, seeing what you wrote. I have to figure all this out. That very phrase right there kind of tells a tale that you're often relying on your head or your thought processes instead of being further down in the body, as we all are. So this isn't, you know, this doesn't mean I'm picking on you, because we all do this where we get up in our heads and we start deferring to the mind for confirmation, for decision-making. And figuring things out isn't your job, right? Your job is either emotional, or it may be splenic, which is more intuitive. It could be coming into the heart. It could be coming into the solar plexus. But the mind itself is not the place where you want to figure things out, because you can keep going around and around. And if we can narrow it down a bit, Justice, human design might be the better route, because human design doesn't rely so much on the exact timing of your birth. So we might be able to say, oh, this was someone born around noon, someone born around 6 p.m., and we can do an initial chart and then look at the times, maybe 2 hours behind and 2 hours in front of that, and get an idea of what kind of changes there might have been. But the type for you might be very telling, and the authority that you have in your body may be very telling about what to do. Amy, does Gemini rule the eyes, or do I just think that because all Geminis have beautiful eyes? Not sure. Gemini does not rule the eyes. It is Aries that rules the eyes. But I can see why you would think that, because, you know, Gemini seems to rule everything else that we have double, two lungs, right? Gemini rules the lungs, arms, shoulders, hands. But we also have 2 feet, 2 legs, and Gemini doesn't rule all that. The eyes are ruled by Aries, because Aries rules the head. And if you're talking about damage to the eyes or what that eyes see, that would be Aries. But I think also there's Taurus there, because Taurus rules the senses. So visual stimulus, what are you, you know, what stimulates your vision, that kind of thing. So we could, there, you could look at a couple of different places for things like that. Good points though, Amy, and I can totally see why you would think that. Natasha Venter, idea for a mantra for digestion when we are emotional triggered. I am digesting my life. Said 3 times, then I energetically move my hand from mouth to lower body following the flow of food. Interesting, Natasha. That's very interesting. Good advice. Kamal, Chiron and Venus means a war type energy. You mentioned that 2 days. Correct me, Janet. Chiron in Venus. Okay, so Chiron is a planet and Venus is a planet, or Chiron is a body. So they would be placed in a sign. So those two planets would be placed in a sign, which would be placed in a house. And it doesn't necessarily mean war type energy. Chiron is about the wounded healer, right? So he's the representation of alternative healing. And Venus rules relationships, our values, our money, everything to do with beauty and harmony and creating that in our lives. So I'm not sure what you're speaking of. Maybe tell me where your Chiron and Venus are. What sign are they in? That might help. Justice for All, night owl, definitely. So likely you were born sometime in the middle of the night, 1, 2, 3 in the morning. And then that means that, you know, morning time, a normal waking time, like 6 to 8 a.m., is likely not going to be you at your best. So you're almost fighting your circadian rhythm. So we might have to, you know, really kind of look at that, maybe do a test chart at 2 or 3 in the morning and see what happens. Justice for All says the right eye And I think the right eye is the gate 63, which is self-doubt, right? Self-doubt. So we could look more at that. Wow, I was just reading something in a book about it because of my right eye. Very good, J-Lo. It's funny because my right eye is my weaker eye. If I, my left eye sees all, my right eye, not so much. But since we are, our vision is, we have bivision, right? We stereo vision, because we have two eyes. They're meant to work together. One's likely weaker than the other. That's just kind of nature, but they're meant to work together. I used to be an optician, so I'd see a lot of people, they'd take their glasses, you know, get their new glasses, they put it on. First thing they do is, I don't see very good with that lens. Oh, I see really good with that lens. And then you're like, but wait a minute, we use both of our eyes and we can correct each one as close as we can to 20/20. But if there's already a weakness in one eye, that doesn't go away just because of the lens you put in front of it. So it's kind of interesting. Ursula. You give us your whole heart each morning. Thank you again and again. You are most welcome. It's what I love to do. It's my path of service. So, hey, thank you, though. Justice for All says, okay, I thought I needed the exact time for human design. No, we always, of course, if you have an exact time, that's the best, right? It is the best. But without that, we're pretty good at making some guesses. And I know that there are ways to rectify the chart. I think for me, it's just such a cerebral process in doing it that somehow it gets me caught up thinking, gets me caught up in my mind. So I prefer to have other people that are good at doing it. Justice for All, what I'm going to do is give you my website to go to, because on my website, you can enter in your birth information and request a free human design chart and report that comes with it, as well as a free astrology chart. But in this chat here, once I'm done, I lose access to that. So please go to that website and request your free charts. And, you know, you might make a little note to me that, of course, I don't know your real name, I just see Justice for All. So what, you might make a little note, hey, I'm Justice for All on YouTube, so that I can kind of play with the timing of your birth. Okay. Great questions, everybody. Great, great chat. I love all of your contributions to this. I saw something about barbecue spices. I got to go back here. I love barbecue. J-Lo, yes, my spices are amazing. I have even done my own barbecue sauce. Why don't you write that up and share it with us all? We'll call it J-Lo's barbecue sauce. Why don't we share recipes? My God, we can share all kinds of stuff. We don't have to just limit it to astrology, human design, gene keys, because we all like to eat, hopefully. And sharing recipes, I think that would be a fun thing to do. So please feel free. Justice for All says, well, something is definitely going on in gate 23. Blood vessels hemorrhaged, but I did get a shot at the specialists. Thanks for the website in advance. So hemorrhages in the eye, subconjunctival hemorrhages are often happening from stress or strain, lifting things that are too heavy, coughing frequently, which might be an effect of allergies. So we could think of a lot of different things, high blood pressure, stress in the blood vessels, beating, you know, against the walls of the blood vessels. So I'm hoping that you're working with your doctors as well, because as much as I love alternative healing, you can't beat the diagnostic abilities of Western medicine. And I do believe naturopaths even have access to that as well. So J-Lo says, funny, Taurus is food, and I have Venus in Taurus. Of course I love food. So Venus in Taurus, a rising sign, Cancer, all of the nurturing that goes into feeding people, talking to people, loving people. It's all there. It's for me. It's right there on the surface. So Amy, I'm so intrigued by the idea of chart rectifications. I think I might be good at this. Ooh, we could team up on this. I think I might be good at this, but maybe only with people I know very well. I am going to need to research that. I have found online rectification tools. I have never been able to get it to work for me, but I'm pretty good at picking out times for people's birth. It's almost like someone sends me their information and it's without a time, and I'm like, oh, that must be 2 a.m. and I use that and it works out perfectly. So I don't know. Justice for All says, I went to a specialist. Good. Very good. Good, good, good. Okay. Now it's 9 o'clock. I cannot believe it, or it's darn near close. So the last thing I want to share this morning is the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day, because as I alluded earlier, it sort of matches the talk we were having about human design with the gate 52, a stillness where the sun is. And today is called For Listening. And listening is the earth energy, while four is the universal energy. So for those of you who are kind of new, the Pleiadian Earth energy is based on a calendar that shows us both the Gregorian days up in the top little corner here, right? Relegating it to the minor, while in the major is the earth and universal energy of the day that represents our spiraling evolution of consciousness. And so I so really love sharing this with everybody, because it shows us from week to week what we're focusing on and what we're growing toward. So every day, this is a 13-day week, remember that. So it's almost even sacred in its ability to tap into the energy of 13. It begins at the one with an energy that sort of is the umbrella energy for the whole of the 13-day period. And that was about enlightening for us when we had the one day on Monday. So enlightening as it relates now to listening. Today's energy on the earth is really about, it was Akbal, by the way, in the Mayan calendar. So for those of you who had Akbal in your Mayan, as your Mayan sign, this is your day to really tap into the void, to listen. And you can't listen the correct way unless you are actually silent, unless you are actually contemplative, right? So listening is an active energy that requires you to, you know, mute and turn on the ears and really hear what someone is saying, or hear the voice that's calling you from the void, calling you from the dark, calling you from the space of nothingness, and let that nothingness just be filled with silence. Right? Let that nothingness be filled with you're just listening for whatever, even listening to the silence. So that is our energy for the day. The four is the universal energy for the day. The universal energy four is where we come to our first sort of pause in the 13 days. And this is an energy where we start to build up stability at the foundation of what it is we're learning. What are we taking away from one, enlightening? What are we taking away from two? And I can't remember what two was that day. It was being. What did we take away from three, breathing? And now we're bringing it all into four, listening, where we're taking it deep and we're going within and we're listening in the void and bringing us in, ourselves into a new stability, a new foundation energy. So that is our Pleiadian energy for the day. Last look at questions or comments. Ursula, if you know a good dowser, they can also help answer both time questions. I do. It's a friend that lives in Switzerland. Her name is Chazé. She even has a course on dowsing that teaches you how to douse, you know, doing that yourself. Good one, Ursula. I love that. See how you take creativity and imagination and you blend it with that down to earth positivity and Virgo energy. That's awesome. So I'll post that. Let me put Chazé's information out for everybody. Perfect. All right. That is it for me. And unbelievably, it is Thursday, which means tomorrow is Friday. And I hope to have gotten into my Mayan Oracle cards here so that we could share that tomorrow in doing readings. So that's it for me. Take care, everybody. Much love. Have a great day. I will see you all tomorrow. All right. Bye for now.